Is it possible that the crisis we're living through right now with the virus, could it be that this is a great opportunity for the church to shine?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, thanks so much for joining us this March 16th, 2020. You may notice that I'm dressed up a bit, those that are watching and not just listening. Maybe listening, you could feel that I'm dressed up a little bit. But the reason is not that it's my custom on my birthday to dress up for radio. And the reason is not that I'm celebrating my 65th birthday today, so I got dressed up for that. No, I was doing a TV shoot earlier for Christian Ministry, recording a number of videos on how to study God's Word. And I figured I'd just leave the jacket on. So welcome to The Line of Fire. Thanks for joining me for this day. Here's the number to call. And phone lines are open for anything you want to talk to me about. It could be about the crisis with the virus. It could be about faith issues. It could be about anything under the sun that you want to talk to me about, like we would on Fridays with open... Well, that's Rush Limbaugh, open line Friday. You got questions, we've got answers. That's what we do on Friday. So here's the number, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Literally, anything you want to ask me about, I'll get to some calls a little later in the broadcast. What I do want to focus on today is how we as God's people can rise above the storm. We as God's people, in the midst of the crisis, can make a positive difference. But first, before I do that, I want to give thanks to the Lord. Friends, I'm profoundly grateful to God as I celebrate my 65th birthday today because I'm alive and thriving because of the grace of God. And I say that in a way that's more pronounced than many would. Look, I was a foolish, heavy drug user in my teen years, ages 14 to 16. Many of you know, I went from smoking pot to shooting heroin and everything in between. But not only that, I did excessive doses. I was known as Drug Bear or Iron Man, because somehow my system could just take high doses of drugs. It took me more drugs to get high than someone else. And because of that, that became a source of pride in the midst of my foolishness and rebellion. So I would do these massive amounts of drugs, experiment with how far I could go without overdosing, how much LSD or hallucinogenic drugs, mescaline, I could take without losing my mind. I mean, that's how crazy I was. And God saved me. God graciously intervened in my life and saved me when I was about 16 and a half years old, 16 and a half, 16 and three quarters. But the reason I give you that precise time is I wasn't old enough yet to get a learner's permit and to be driving in New York yet. So some other states I could have, but the regulations in New York, you had to be a little bit older. So I was not driving and using drugs at the same time. Had I been, because of the foolish way that I did things and the reckless way that I did things, that if I didn't die from some overdose, just getting silly and crazy and seeing how much drugs I could do, if I didn't die of that, I could have well died in a car wreck, you know, using heavily hallucinogenics and not knowing the difference between reality and fantasy. I could have easily died. I mean, when I would do hallucinogenic drugs, I would do them such large doses, sometimes five times more than others, one time 30 times more than others. It was ended up in the hospital for a night. So it's God's mercy and grace that sustained me and that kept me. So when I was walking at night, I literally could not tell the difference between reality and hallucination. I would walk with my hand in front of my face because everything became like a giant cartoon and I didn't know it was real or not. Picture getting behind a wheel with that. Or who knows what I could have done to someone else potentially. So God intervened in my life. I might not have seen my 18th year. And then at the age of 59, God helped me to radically change my whole lifestyle and my diet. So literally, every year since then now, over 5.5 years, every year since then, I literally feel younger each year than I did the year before. And obviously, at a certain point, that will stop. And my life is in God's hands. I can't boast about tomorrow. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. But I really believe that God sustained my life and has given me extra years. My dad died in 1977 at the age of 63. Suddenly died of a heart attack. No symptoms of anything leading up to it. He was gone. And I was, over the years, getting high blood pressure. My cholesterol was a little high, but the bad was bad, and the bad cholesterol was high, and the good cholesterol was low. So it was much worse than just the basic numbers themselves. And the way I lived and pushed, so I have some other indications of health things that were going on. I only found out about subsequently that I really think if I kept living the way I was living and eating the way I was eating, I genuinely think that my life could have been cut short, that I wouldn't have even lived to be 65. So let alone God saving me before I could have killed myself foolishly with my drug abuse before I was 18. Now, all these years later, I believe God has graciously intervened. Trust me, the fact that I've not deviated from healthy living, healthy eating, not a single time in 5.5 years. Not eating something that's like, I'm forbidden to eat this, but I'm going to eat it, or I know this is dangerous or destructive, but I'm going to eat it anyway. By God's grace, by His grace, He has sustained me, kept me joyfully. I believe He's sustained my life. And not only so, the health that I enjoy, the vigor that I enjoy, the physical robustness, the wonderful results on the annual blood work that I get, very, very extensive blood work from the leading physicians in the country, just a 16-page report plus a nutrition report, 13 vials of blood drawn, I mean, in depth, detailed. The fact that I'm thriving in so many ways. Again, can't boast about tomorrow. Cannot boast about tomorrow. My life is in God's hands, all right? But I'm saying the life that I'm enjoying, the strength of my immune system, the ability to go with crazy schedules and thrive in the midst of it. I try to rest properly, try to take care of myself and do everything I'm supposed to. But it's a gift from God, and I am grateful to God. And I want to thank all of you who've prayed for me over the years, because I have no question that God has answered your prayers to sustain me, that God has answered your prayers to keep me in the midst of trial, in the midst of attack, in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of challenge. So I know your prayers have made a difference. And on an ongoing basis, you have to realize we are the point of the spear, the point of the arrow that's being shot out into difficult territory, spiritually speaking, all right? That we're on the front lines of a lot of difficult things that come with bombardment and spiritual and demonic attack and earthly harassment and pressure of every kind. And for the most part, I live a life that is virtually pressure-free. Oh, trust me, I know the burden of the Lord. I know what it is to carry weight. I know what it is to feel weight and concern and to have all kinds of pressure to deal with. But I'm saying it doesn't eat at me. The attacks, the lies, the viciousness that come our way, sometimes literally by the second online. And who knows what else is going on in the spiritual realm. I am largely protected by it, and I know it is God's grace at work in my life and His calling and my relationship with Him, but I am very, very sure a large, large, large part of it is your prayers for me. So thank you. We are in this together. And by God's grace, I want to serve as your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution for many years to come. Again, I'm not boasting of the future. I'm here to serve and honor God by life or my death. By my body, my life, my mind, my heart, everything I have belongs to Him. But at 65 now, I am so full of vision and so full of faith and so full of excitement and so full of joy. I feel as if we haven't done anything yet. I feel as if we haven't even gotten off the ground yet. I feel as if we've barely touched anyone yet. I believe God wants to do great things. So let us enjoy the journey together, and do what you can to take care of yourself so that your life can be a blessing to more and more people. All right, 866-34-TRUTH. Yeah, thank you. Caller suggested that we could point up to the sky instead of fist or elbow bumps. So now with the concern about touching and everything else, that's a fun thing. So for believers, you see somebody, you point to the sky. All right. Thank you for the thought. Okay. Before we talk about how the church could be a blessing and rise and shine in the midst of this crisis, I want to draw your attention to something. Many Christians don't know how to respond to government calls, government prohibitions, people over, you can't meet over 50 people together, and there'll be fines in certain states, and this being shut down and that being shut down. How should we respond? Should we just say, hey, we have faith, we believe God, we're going to go for it, nothing is going to stop us? Or do we say, let's use wisdom, or let's submit to the government regulations here? Faith and wisdom are two sides of the same coin. The same God who gives us faith gives us wisdom. The same God who tells us to get out of the boat and walk on the water at certain times also tells us at other times, stay in the boat and be safe in the midst of the storm. Look at Proverbs chapter 22, verse 3. Proverbs 22, verse 3 says this: a crafty person, or better, a shrewd person sees danger and hides, but the naive keep going and suffer for it. Arum is the Hebrew word. It can mean crafty, but here better translated and understood as shrewd. The shrewd person sees danger and hides. The Hebrew word for hide there is from the same root in Psalm 91, that there is a hiding place, a secret place in the Lord. So you can have a hiding place by faith, where you take refuge in the Lord, or it can be natural, covert, natural protection. But notice that the shrewd person sees danger and hides so it doesn't touch him. But the naive one, the foolish one, keeps going and suffers for it. So friends, if there is a hurricane coming, Category 5, and it's coming to your beachfront community, and the government says, everybody evacuate, everybody get up, oh, I have faith. Well, unless God himself instructed you to stay there for some reason in the midst of it, or to help people who got trapped, then unless he said that, your house is probably going to get wiped out and you might die because there was a warning and you didn't heed the warning. Wisdom heeds wise warnings. So my policy right now, unless I have a directive from God that there's an assignment that I have in the midst of the storm, my stance is to take the government recommendations, to live by them, to use that as wisdom. And not just for me, but for the sake of others. Love your neighbor. Do this for the sake of others. I don't look at it as a matter of faith. I look at it as a matter of wisdom. Let's be wise. 866-34-TRUTH. Going to come back, take your calls, and talk about how the church can use this opportunity to really make a difference. Stay right here. Change the world.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us today on my 65th birthday. What a joy to share it with all of you. 866-34-TRUTH. I'm going to go to the phones shortly, and we've opened the phones for all kinds of questions. So whatever's on your mind, we want to take advantage of the fact that we're here and with you online, on radio, to talk, to interact. So it could be related to the coronavirus situation. It can be something totally unrelated. But again, with my travel, for example, scheduled to be overseas on one trip, but it's not in an affected area where there's travel restriction. If the door is still open, unless God says to me, don't do it, as long as travel's back and forth and the airlines are fine and I can get in and out of the country without being quarantined and so on, then I do the trip and trust God for grace in the midst of it, like you do with any trip. Anytime you get behind the wheel of a car, anytime you sit down on the plane, anytime you go anywhere, I mean, there's always potential of something happening. You could be in your home and a small plane could crash in your home. I mean, anything could happen, right? Our lives are in God's hands. We don't live fearful of every possible thing that could go wrong. But we use wisdom in the midst of it. So this past Sunday, yesterday, we did a scale down service at Fire Church, and the plan was just to have some elders, leaders there, worship team. I would preach. This is my home congregation, and I speak there maybe every month or two, and so that's what we did. we did a live stream of the service, and it was fine. The worship was great. I got to bring strong word. Then we had excellent prayer led by Pastor Chris on the National Day of Prayer. So that's what we did, and it was fine. So now listen, right now, there are many of you in really difficult situations, and you're not so much concerned about the virus or getting sick, but how are you going to live? How are you going to live? I mean, what are you going to do if you're in one of the many, 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 many businesses already affected? You work with an airline. You work in a stadium. You work in a restaurant. You're self-employed. And whatever it is, the stuff you do, there's not going to be any money right now. So this is a genuine concern, a genuine issue. So let me just address it from the viewpoint of being a child of God and the family together. The first thing is, do you really think that God is going to let you be destitute on the street, that you're going to be the one that ends up destitute on the street with, you know, you got a sheet over your head with the cold rain at night or something, and that's, God's going to let that happen to you if you've been honoring him and serving him, living for him. Don't create a worst-case scenario, because we're all in this together. The whole world is in this together right now, and all of America is in this together. So don't allow these worst-case scenarios to dominate your thinking, okay? Don't allow that it's all coming down. As a child of God, have some confidence in the Lord. And then remember, we're all in this together. Here, I'm in ministry, all right? We have monthly supporters. We have things like that. We have resources, books, and things that people purchase. But we have support from our monthly supporters, and people send in special gifts, and some churches help us. But then we receive income when I go out and speak. Offerings will be received for our ministry. I don't receive personal funds going out and speaking, but funds are received for our ministry. Honorariums, love offerings, well, that contributes a lot to what we're doing. Well, we just had a bunch of cancellations. So I'm glad to have extra time at home and being with the Lord and more time writing and things like that. But yeah, we get a hit. Where does the income come from? So we're all trusting God together. I want to encourage you to have that attitude of confidence in the Lord. Encourage one another. If you're part of a church family, your church family is going through this together, all right? Your church family is doing this together. You're all in the same boat, so encourage each other. You may have to pull resources. You may do some things where we have to live more in community. We'll talk in a little while, bottom of the hour, about how the church can shine in the midst of difficult times. But sometimes, look, I've been in situations over the years, newly married or with young family, a couple of young kids, and one job I had to leave, a sales job. I just felt the company was not acting in an ethical way, and I had to leave. And I remember thinking, okay, we got no money. We had gotten a house, so we had to pay mortgage. You know, it was inexpensive, but we had to pay mortgage in the house and one car and pay for that, and then wife, two kids, and food, and, you know, the utilities, and we had no money, no savings. And I remember looking at the fact, okay, I'm going to have to find a new sales job immediately. I was going to grad school like half day a week as well and working full-time job. And I remember thinking, okay, we got $25, literally, at that point, to our name. What do I do? And I thought, spend it. Use it. I think, what? Well, how far is $25 going to get you? Is that going to pay the mortgage, pay the rent? How far is that going to get you? Is that going to pay for food for a week for a whole family? Is that going to... I just remember thinking, just spend it. Just have a meal together, do something fun together. And it was or give it away. That's another thing we've done sometimes when there's a real crisis. We've got $100 left. Give it away to somebody. That it was my way of saying, okay, I am not going to be... Because I was working hard. I was doing everything I knew how to do. We were frugal and all of this. And yet, there was no money. So my attitude had to be, I had to free myself at that moment from the anxiety of it. And here we are. Here we are. We've come through. Everybody's healthy. Everybody's fine. By God's grace, these many decades later. So in the midst of this, I have a new video out on overcoming a spirit of fear, a talk I did, a live Facebook chat last night. And we've preached a bunch of messages, put out a bunch of articles, bunch of videos, live stream chats, to constantly seek to build you up, strengthen you, encourage you in the midst of the storm, because it's a real storm. It's unprecedented times for America and the world to deal with something quite like this, all right? So the hyper-precaution, everything that's being done, good. Let it be done, but Be in Faith, these videos, this teaching, Overcoming a Spirit of Fear, that I just did last night from my home. You can watch it at AskDrBrown.org, Overcoming the Spirit of Fear. Let us minister to you. Let us help you. Let us strengthen you in the midst of this. All right. I want to switch in a moment to how we can rise up and be a blessing in the midst of the crisis. But let's grab some calls on a number of different subjects. We'll stay with the virus for a moment. So Jay in Idaho, welcome to the Line of Fire. Thanks for calling.
Thank you very much for taking my call, sir.
You're welcome.
So I had a few thoughts on this coronavirus that I wanted to share with you and get your perspective on. I've personally kind of felt that the closing down of churches is almost, if I'm being honest, somewhat offensive, and it shows to me a real lack of faith. And, you know, when you brought up the hurricane example, and, you know, the hurricane example was interesting to me because we could all leave and go and congregate together somewhere else, but in this instance, it's almost like governments, and in some cases, like in Italy and whatnot, they literally are, you know, telling us, no, you can't go to church, and members of the body even, you know, getting angry with pastors, saying you must not be a godly person if you're not going, or if you're not closing down this church. And it just, it strikes me as odd because, you know, this death rate, it's something like 2%. It's nothing almost in comparison to diseases. You know, nobody was shutting down, you know, churches in West Africa over the 39% death rate in Ebola, right? And, you know, it seems like
right.
They had a lot stronger faith than we do.
But maybe it's not faith. Maybe it's not faith, though, Jay. First thing is, if there was a hurricane and everyone had to evacuate, you're all scattering to different areas. You're not all going to gather together in a church service somewhere. So this is affecting restaurants, movie theaters, sports events. I don't look at it in any way as a direct attack on the church. That's the first thing. Nor to me is it a matter of faith. If you've got so much faith, then shut this whole virus down. In other words, if I'm such a man of faith that nothing can touch me, well, why don't I use my faith to shut the virus down and just say it's not going to touch anybody else? This is a matter of love your neighbor. See, that's the thing we're missing here. It's not a matter of the government putting restrictions on us. It's a matter of saying that we're trying to stop the outbreak. So, you know, you have in Italy, you know, hundreds dying each day. They're now talking about potentially if you're over 80, they're not even going to treat you, just let you die. And they've already had to decide, okay, we just don't treat some people because you're less likely to survive, have to treat others. It's a crisis, and it's in a situation, Jay, where it could suddenly grow. So let's just say one out of every 100 people get it, die. There's some projections that say half of America will get it, right? Which would result in over 15 million deaths. That's a lot of deaths. So what we're doing now, when I say we, the government, those agreeing together to do this, is working to stop the spread of it. So perhaps with the death rate, with Ebola, things like that, perhaps more proactive measures could have saved more lives. So look, I've gone into dangerous situations on a regular basis. I've gone into dangerous situations to preach the gospel, knowing that there could be violence against me, knowing that other things could happen, knowing I could be kidnapped or who knows what, but I felt God said to go, and I went in the midst of it and preached and was preserved by God. And we had some pretty crazy situations. I bring people on that were with me overseas in these situations. They were pretty crazy. But I went because I felt God said go and preach. So I did it. So if the Lord's granting us special faith, then let's go into the midst of places where people are suffering and hurting, and they're already affected, and you go minister healing to them so that they're healed and you're fine. But I very much am concerned about the government cracking down on religious liberties. I just don't see that as the issue. So, Jay, all respect to your concern, and I appreciate it, and I know we have to be careful about government overreach. I just personally don't see that as the case here because it's affecting every facet of society, and the goal is clamp down for month, 2 months to stop the spread to potentially save millions of lives. I think that's a Christian thing to do, no? All right, thank you, sir. I really appreciate you weighing in. We'll be right back.
want, for fire we please.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH is the number to call. Friends, it is my goal to be your voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in chaos and a church all too often in compromise. And I hope that at times like this that you use this as a resource. I've written a number of articles about the coronavirus, about the Bible, about our response to it. We have full sermons. We have full broadcasts here. We've gone through Psalm 91 in Hebrew for you. We've done Facebook Live chats. So take advantage of these resources. Let us be a blessing to you. Let us help you in the midst of the crisis, the storm. Go to AskDrBrown.org, ASKDRBrown.org. Hang on. I have a tickle in my throat here, and I'm taking some water. And right in the midst of the broadcast, now you say, why do that right in the midst of a broadcast? Well, I didn't want you to think I had a cough or wonder if I'm sick. I just had a tickle. I'm just sitting here working on my computer during the break, ready for the bottom of the hour here. So sometimes just a little tickle in my throat that I think we are over it. But let us serve you. Let us be a resource to you. And I know your own finances may be challenged right now. But if you're able to stand with us and help us, because we've had to cut back on travel and other things, which then brings a reduction in income. So we're trusting God. He's the one that backs us and supports us. But if you can help us with a one-time gift, that'd be awesome. AskDrBrown.org. Just click on donate. Okay, phone lines are jammed, and I'm going back to the phones shortly. But take a look on Drudge Report. This is one of the most widely read websites, conservative website, and it's a news aggregate. In other words, it just links other stories. It doesn't, when you click, you go to that actual website. But I'm just looking at headlines on the upper left, okay? Police ask public to stop calling 911 over lack of toilet paper. One in five Americans expect they'll catch it. $1,000 bonus for every citizen. Business asks governor to help. Airlines want $50 billion. Feds throwing money in wrong place, says former top banking regulator. Kid Rock's Nashville bar refuses to close, calls mandate unconstitutional. Swooning stock signal higher likelihood of Trump losing election. Rout threatens to wipe out all gains since inauguration. Manufacturing index record decline. Amazon warns of delivery delays, running out of items. Restaurants shut across nations. Parents battle overwhelming anxiety with long-term school closures. Supreme Court delays arguments. States turn to cash reserves. Slash almost all flights. On and on. Okay. Scary. Scary stuff. May I encourage you to learn what's happening in the world around you, but then to keep your heart and mind in the Word, to keep your heart and mind in Scripture, to look to the Lord and to renew your mind with a biblical perspective in the midst of the storm. Remember, sometimes God takes us out of the storm. Sometimes he goes with us through the storm. Right now, there's a storm. There's a societal storm. It's not the end of the world. It's not an end-time biblical plague, but it's a storm. It's a serious storm. It's affecting lots of people. And the precautionary moves that are being made are to save lives. So we participate in it, but let's do it with peace. Let's even do it with joy in the midst of the storm. One of my friends, a ministry school grad, sent me a link from the Facebook page of Jeremy Pryor, and he put together some information from historian Rodney Stark, and it is how three plagues led to the rise of Christianity. All right, so this is an Insta book, just a number of slides that Jeremy Pryor, whom I don't know, put together. All right, and it says this: if you check the Wikipedia page for the article entitled "The Rise of Christianity," this is the very first cause listed. Quote, while others fled cities, Christians stayed in urban areas during plague, ministering and caring for the sick. Now, there are many reasons the gospel grew and flourished, but it's interesting that this is one of them. that during a plague, Christians stayed and ministered. So that's a quote from historian anthropologist Rodney Stark, and he tracks the increased conversion rates during three plagues: the Antonine Plague, 2nd century, the Cyprian Plague, 3rd century, and the Justinian Plague, 6th century. As pagan priests and even physicians fled cities impacted by these viruses, Christians remained and ministered to the sick and dying, often at the cost of their own lives. The Bishop Dionysius declared that staying and caring for plague victims was a form of martyrdom. The last pagan emperor, Julian, wrote this about the Christians. This is a pagan emperor. When it came about that the poor were neglected and overlooked by the priests, meaning the secular, the worldly priests, the pagan priests, and then I think the impious Galileans, this is the mocking way he spoke of the Christians, observed this fact and devoted themselves to philanthropy. They support not only their poor, but ours as well. All men see that our people lack aid from us. So the church grew and spread through each pandemic that struck the Roman world. And Jeremy asked the question, what will the world say about the followers of Jesus at the conclusion of this pandemic? And Jesus said, by this, everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. So just a thought for you, all right? Please hear me carefully. I am not encouraging you, telling you to go among sick people, to go to people who are infected, and to minister to them and to pray for them. I am not telling you to do that. I am not telling you to violate government edicts, executive orders, saying that you can't meet in certain places or congregate and do things. I am not telling you to do any such thing. I am saying this. Number one, let our attitudes be different in the midst of the storm. Let our attitudes be those of peace, of confidence, of grace, of joy in the midst of the hardship and difficulty all around us, okay? That's number one. Number two, let's look for opportunities to do good. Let's look for ways where the church can care for others. Instead of just thinking about me, 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 which is very understandable. You're the breadwinner. You supply the needs of the family. Now you've got all this on your plate. How are we going to do it? Oh, I'm not working. I don't have income. We got to stay home. One of us has to stay home with the kids. The kids are not in school. Genuine crisis questions. Absolutely genuine, real questions. God's going to get us through this. And as an American people, together, we'll get through this. But be praying, Lord, what can we do to think about others? That may just open up divine supply. God knows how to get funds to us, even when there are no earthly funds, all right? This can open up divine supply that God can work through you to touch others. And then, if you are in contact with those who are sick, let's be agents of healing, and let's ask God to use us to bring healing. So I'm not saying put your life at risk, not instructing you to do that. But I am encouraging you to ask God for opportunities to make a difference. And instead of just thinking about you, your family, which is understandable, and it's not carnal to be concerned about the needs of your family, your individual needs, but let's also say, God, make me a conduit of blessing. You'd be amazed when you start praying and thinking for others, what happens? And you never know how God can get funds, resources, different things to you that will be a blessing, that will be a help to others. Make sense? And you think our God is big enough for that? So be encouraged. This is a challenging time, but by God's grace, we're going to get through it. Let's get through it and come out shining. How's that? All right, back to the phones. We start in Burlington, North Carolina. Mike, thank you for holding. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you. Happy birthday, brother.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Yeah. I don't know if I want to ask this question or not after all that heavy stuff you throw it out there, but I'll give it a shot.
That's all right. No, we're fine. We're switching subjects. It's okay.
Deuteronomy 21, female captive.
Yeah.
And it says, and God says not to marry foreign women, but here it seems like he gives them license to go in because he says, if you see a nice-looking gal, you can bring her home, cut her nails, shave her head, take off her clothes and put on his clothes or women have a garment, mourn for mom and dad for a month, and then if you like her, you go into her, you like her, you can keep her. If you don't, can turn loose. That just blows my mind. I don't quite comprehend all that.
Yeah, it's a very fair question. Number one, you could say, where's the compassion of God towards that woman and how would we feel about it today? Which is very fair. So we realize that there were laws that were instituted under the Sinai Covenant that had a purpose in their day and that were just and right in the context of their day, but were not necessarily God's ideal. We know that with divorce, for example. Deuteronomy 24, Jesus tells us in Matthew 19, that was given because of the hardness of heart. Just like polygamy had a place under the law, within limits. But that was never God's ultimate intent. So we could say that this does not reflect God's ultimate heart for foreigners and things like that. His ultimate heart is expressed through the cross in terms of Jesus dying for this captive woman just as well as an Israelite. That's the first thing. The second thing is that it is talking here in the context of subduing and conquering enemies. And now these people, rather than killing them, they could be allowed to live, but they would be incorporated into the people of Israel. So this would be an opportunity for this woman to be like a Ruth and come out of her idolatrous background and live and now be a member of the people of Israel. So it was a decided step up in every way for her and a way for her to live. But rather than look at, you know, she's displeasing, just throw her out, it could also be mercy towards her because now she gets to live. So she preserves her life. She gets to live rather than die and be killed with the rest of her people who were enemies of the Lord and enemies of the people of Israel in the context there. So she gets to live. And her husband's not allowed to just throw her out, like, I don't care about you, so I'm going to mistreat you. No, if he's not happy with her, then he divorces her. That's also for her good. So as harsh as this sounds on the one hand, there's actually some humanitarian grace in the midst of it, that she gets to live, that she gets to become part of the family of Israel, and that if her husband's not happy with her, then ultimately there's a way out for her, and she can continue to live among the people of Israel and potentially marry someone else. So as harsh as the law is on the one hand, there's some mercy and humanitarian grace in the midst of it. Hey, Mike, thank you for asking the question. These kind of questions need to be asked because they're troubling to many and they're good answers as well. All right, we come back. I want to get to a few more calls. And then in the midst of all the pressure around us, I got something a little bit more lighthearted if we get a chance to do it before the next few minutes are out. So stay right here.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on March 16th, 2020, which is my 65th birthday. Who knew that 65 could feel so young, robust, healthy, blessed, full of energy? And those with health issues, whether you're 20 or 70, may God's grace be with you. May he give you wisdom to address things where you can and where you can't. May he give you healing grace and grace to endure. And those that are healthy, be thankful for it and guard your health. All right, let's go to the phones in Canada. Jason, thanks so much for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi. My question is, like, how long was God in the darkness for?
Ah. Hey, Jason, how old are you?
10.
10. Great. And how did you find out about calling the radio show?
Oh, my stepdad told me he really likes watching it.
Oh, well, that's wonderful. All right, so let me just hear your question again.
How long was God in the darkness for?
Ah, okay. Well, in God himself, he is perfect light, all right? So darkness is the absence of light. So as long as God was, he was always full of light. You know, if you have like a light bulb in the socket and you turn it on, there's light. That light can wear out, and then your stepdad has to get another bulb and put it in because it wears out. But God's light is always, he was always shining. He was never in the darkness. Then he created the whole world and the heavens and the stars, and he created all of that, and it was something new, and there was darkness there. So there was never darkness in God. The Bible says, in him is light and no darkness at all. So when he's there, everything is lit up. You know, heaven is not going to need any lamps. Heaven's not going to need any stars. Heaven's not going to need the sun, because God is there. So he lights up the whole place. But when he created the universe, think of it like you made a house and you don't have any lights in the house yet. So you make the house. And then once you make the house, now you put the lights in to light up the house. So God made like a new house, all the universe, all the world, and it was dark. And then he put lights in. He said, okay, light, shine. And then he put in like the stars and the sun, the moon to give more light and things like that. But God was never in darkness, because God is light. And because he's light, there is no darkness wherever God is. Does that help, Jason?
Yes.
Hey, listen.
And, I have another question too.
Well, you go ahead, please.
How was God like created? Like, how was he just there?
Yeah, that's a big question, isn't it? Okay, so you know that all of us, we started one day. We were born one day, right? So I'm 65 years old. Now you're 10 years old. We were all born. We started. Or if you get a puppy or you get a dog. So that dog, is one day it wasn't, and then it was born. Then it was a little puppy. Then it got bigger. It got older. The same thing with, like, you plant something in the yard. And it wasn't one day, and now it starts to grow, and then like a plant, and then it becomes a tree or something like that. So everything had a beginning, except God, because he's God, he always was. Just like he's always light, he always was. See, somebody had to start it all. Somebody had to get the whole thing going. But if there's nobody there, where do they come from? So God always was. That's what makes him God. That's why he's different. He doesn't have a beginning, and he doesn't have an end. He doesn't get old and tired. He doesn't have to sleep, because he's different. So we are all created. Everything you see, the sun and the moon, the earth, the trees, the dogs, the cats, you and me, we're all created. Everything you touch, the dirt outside, the water that runs, that's all created. It has a beginning. But God, because of who he is, has no beginning and he has no end, because he always was and he always will be. That's why he's God. Only he is God and the rest of us aren't. And that means that he's really there. When he's not just God, he's our heavenly father. So think of having a father like God. That's reality there. So Jason, you can really trust him, because he's faithful and he never, ever changes. All right, so Jason, make me a deal. If you have some other questions in the future, you give me a call, okay?
Okay.
All right, thank you. I really appreciate it. Well, that was special. Thank you, Jason. That made my day even more. 866-34-TRUTH. And Kai, I think that's worthy of pulling that out as a special little video there. All right, in Virginia, Donna, thank you for holding. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm calling about my 18-year-old son that went to college this fall, and I found out recently he's using marijuana to deal with his depression and anxiety.
Mm.
Just wondering what your recommendation is and how to respond as his parent.
Yeah. Has he had a solid relationship with the Lord up to now or no?
I asked him recently if he, you know, believes in God, and he says yes. I mean, he made a profession of faith and was baptized as a child. He struggled, though. His dad left the home when he's 8 and a half, so he's,
got it.
You know, struggled with some different things.
Yeah, so Donna, I know that pot can be a problem in itself, and then it can lead to other drugs and be a gateway for that. I wouldn't make that the big, big concern, although it is a concern, and I wouldn't put him under pressure. Like, you know, I'm so worried about you. What are you doing? I think that just add to his concern. Number one, of course, you pray for him. Prayers of the mother about the most powerful prayers in the universe. And many, many a wayward son and daughter has come back to God through the prayers of a mother. So entrust him to God every day. God, keep him safe. Don't let him get around the wrong people. Don't let him do the wrong thing. And so that's the first thing. And then second, pray that he'll recognize that he needs the Lord, because the answer to his problem is not that he stops smoking pot. That would be good. But the answer is that he really comes to know the Lord, is truly born from above. And when he finds the Lord, he won't need these other crutches. So can I pray with you now, Donna, for him? Would that be all right?
That'd be great. Thank you.
All right. Father, we lift up Donna first, that you'd give her confidence, that grace would flood her heart, that she wouldn't fear or be overly concerned, but she'd take every weight, anxiety, concern, and give it to you. And then I pray for her son. Lord, bring him to a place where he knows he needs you, where the pot won't do it, where other things, drugs, drinking, friends won't do it, that the pain, the anxiety on the inside would bring him to a point where he must go to you. And as he goes to you, may he find salvation, deliverance, freedom. Keep him safe from every device of Satan and deliver him safely into your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, other moms out there, you pray with Donna for her son. Thank you so much. All right, friends, I'm going to change gears here, and we're going to spend the last couple minutes in a little bit of a lighthearted way. When I was in Australia, the last day, because my flight was moved back 18 hours, the last day I got to go with a brother, Dave, who brought me to this wildlife place. So it was cool. I got to hold a koala bear and take a picture with it. And this kangaroo was just laying there, and emus walking around. So I said, hey, let's do some fun videos. So I got one walking with the emu as if I was the trainer. And I'd say, right, stop here. And I just happened to stop at the right moment. You know, like, and they said you could pet the back. And his name was Curly. I named it Horace because I didn't know its name. And so just playing around like, yeah, I'm working with the emus here, training them. And then the kangaroos, there's some just laying there, just laid out, laying there. So I did this fun little video. You can watch, you can hear it. Let's play it.
We got here, the kangaroos were very stressed, jumping around, hopping around, very, very stressed. So I began to share scriptures, principles of meditation, prayed for him, and he's just been out. He's been relaxed. I think they call this being slain in the spirit of kangaroos.
So I just was being silly and playing around. And yeah, it's a kangaroo slain in the spirit. So wouldn't you know it, I start getting attacked for this video. So Friendly Atheist, all right, they put out an article. But the Friendly Atheist puts out an article about this. Preacher, I shared Jesus with this kangaroo and it was slain in the spirit. Do they not have a little sense of humor? Do they not understand that I'm just making light of the whole thing and having a little fun with it? Well, I thought maybe we should put out CDs, you know, music to pray for your animals to be slain in the spirit. I mean, come on, we're just having a little fun. What are they going to do with the emu video where I'm training the emu? Come on. But okay, it's bad enough for the atheists to not have a sense of humor. But then you get these extreme hypercritical websites. I mean, websites just outright lie about you, outright lie, and publish things that are completely false. We've confronted them many times. But here, Pulpit and Pen does the same. I just got sent these links. I didn't find them myself. Video, Michael Brown slays kangaroo in the spirit. Hey, guys, lighten up a little, all right? Smile. If you think it's stupid humor, fine. I'm just having a little fun. Life is intense. There's lots of pressure. There's lots of crazy things going on. I had this Australia trip, 50 hours travel either way because of flight issues and things like that. To be there 72 hours, I get a few hours free, and I'm having a little fun. Picture of the koala bear, walking around with the emus, shooting another video by the Tasmanian devil exhibit. You know, I didn't get to see any of them. And now by the kangaroos. We're having a little fun. That's all we were doing. If you don't think it's funny, that's fine. But get a life. Get a sense of humor. Sometimes you just need to smile a little. So friends, let's keep smiling in the midst of the serious storm that we're in. Because if you know the Lord, God is with you. Change the world.